Good afternoon. This is St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, and this is Father Stosh Daly with your daily message of hope. As we come to the end of this afternoon on this Thursday, this day set aside for venerating, worshiping, and adoring our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. For today's daily message of hope, I'm very privileged and honored to be joined by Sister Maria Giovanni Paolo del Eucaristia, a member of the Salt Sisters, who is from Ohio originally, and she's on her home visit. So, Sister, it's Thursday.
Yes, Father.
the day of the Eucharist.
It is.
Now, why, for all of our listeners, just to kind of have that gentle reminder, you know, we say that Thursday is the day of the Eucharist. So incredibly important in today's world where, tragically speaking, in a very sad way, so many Catholics don't understand and don't believe in the Church's fidelity and obedience to Jesus, that He is truly present in the Holy Eucharist. And here we have one day every week where we are able to dwell on and enter deeper into the mystery of our Lord's love for us in the Holy Eucharist. I mean, Sister, what strikes you? I mean, you have "of the Eucharist" in the title of your religious name, Sister Maria Giovanni Paolo del Eucaristia. What comes to your mind when you think of Thursday, the Eucharist, the state of the Church today, what people need, what we're hungering for?
First of all, we have to go back to Holy Week, Holy Thursday, when the institution of the Eucharist happened that day, but also for a priest.
Yeah.
When the priests were started right there at the Eucharist, and God gave us a memorial of Him in the Eucharist. I remember going to Adoration, and we could go to Adoration with Jesus in the Tabernacle, but there is something with His presence and knowing the mystery and knowing our faith that is Him present in the Eucharist. It gives a whole different meaning in prayer when Jesus is there on the altar. It's like He's looking at you. He will never yell at you. You can yell at Him. You can be mad at Him, but He comes back comforting and loving. It's the presence of anybody that you're in the room with. And if you have that faith and you believe in that faith and that mystery, He becomes real and present in the Eucharist.
It's so true. You know, Sister, you have a great zeal, a great passion for the priesthood of Jesus. No big surprise, then, you also have a beautiful love for Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. And I love how you draw our attention back to Holy Thursday. And that's why every Thursday we remember the Eucharist, we remember the priesthood. You know, we think of the Last Supper, which is the first Mass. What is it, what comes to your mind? What would you share with all of our listeners with regard to, I mean, the importance of not only worshiping and adoring and loving the Lord Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, but especially when they consider their loved ones who perhaps have fallen away or don't believe themselves? You know, like, what is something tangible that comes to your mind, just off the top of your mind, tip of your tongue? What is something someone can do, you know, who might be listening to this daily message of hope and they're thinking, gosh, my husband doesn't believe, my wife struggles to go to Mass, my children have fallen away, my parents are quote unquote too busy, you know, and yet we have this powerful reality of the Eucharist. What can that person who loves the Lord, who believes He's present, who acknowledges the truth, what can that person do? Simple, complex, whatever comes to mind.
Well, the first thing that came to mind to me was I remember when my parents divorced and I thought I was alone. And the first silent retreat that I did, I was in prayer and I asked the Lord, why did You leave me? And one of the things He said to me, and I think everyone needs to know this, the Father said, I've never left you. I've always been with you. God is present with us all the time. He is with us wherever we are, sitting next to us, behind us, in front of us. He's with us always. Yeah. His love is unconditional. He's with us all the time. And we have to believe that He is present, because how else would we be here if it wasn't for Him?
It's
He's
true.
Our creator,
yeah,
and
exactly.
He's the one that brought us here. And He said that it's a mystery. He didn't say, I'm there, look, you'll see My flesh. You know, He is flesh. He is that bread. But that's the memorial that He's left for us. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful memorial because of what He did for us on Good Friday.
Yeah. We have, you know, right now we have this privileged opportunity to consider someone, one of the newly blesseds in the life of the Church, especially when you consider a church that's 2,000 years old, Blessed Carlo. And as a young boy, as a young man, he said, the Eucharist, my highway to heaven. Mm-hmm. You know, so he would encounter Jesus in the Eucharist, and his love for Jesus in the Eucharist was just powerful. It is powerful. And I remember, you know, in some of the things I've read and just coming to know him and to ask for his prayers and to really be open to being inspired by this young man who died at the age of 15 and was beatified in Assisi, is he would think of really what one might say is the tragedy of sin in the life of his classmates and his peers, his teammates. You know, and he would go home and he would say, you know, if only they could see, if only they could understand Jesus present among us in the Eucharist. And, but you know, he said, he goes, you know, my highway to heaven, like, how do I get there the fastest in this present moment? It's by being with Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. And that, you know, that's something that none of us are too young, or none of us are definitely too old to understand and appreciate. We all know the challenge of driving on a residential neighborhood street. You want to go faster, you want to go faster. You can't. Then you go on the highway and you can go faster. You might not be able to go as fast as you like. Not all of us have a heavy foot like me, you know. some are prudent, some are more, you know, mindful. But when you think of just, you know, I need to go to heaven right now. I need to have that peace of the Lord. We go to the Eucharist. I mean, sister, I know you're like a huge advocate and proponent for adoration, especially adoration in parishes, adoration mm-hmm. chapels. You know, when you come on your home visit, you always get excited when you ask me, it's like, well, where can I go for adoration? You're like, well, you can go to this church, that chapel. I mean, what kind of, how would you invite our listeners to consider making a holy hour? Like, what comes to your mind? Like, to throw that net wide, to encourage people to just consider making a visit.
Well, a lot of them say, I can't hear God talk to me. Well, you're not going to hear him talk to you as we are talking, you know, verbally and listening to a voice coming to you. But when you're in the silence, that's when you really need, and you will hear God speak to you in that silence. Mm. And the first time I experienced that, it was like he spoke. It's that his heart, your heart is just, oh my gosh, I heard this voice. You hear a voice within you, but it's only for you to hear.
Right.
It's not for everybody to hear. But in order for you to hear that, you need to be in the silence. And once you go and you continue to go and make that effort once a week, you will thrive for that. And then you'll want more, because silence is so needed in our world. Our world is really confused right now with all the riots and all the hatred that's out there. All of us who are Catholic and believe that God is in the Eucharist, we need to go and we need to make that time of prayer to bring our world back to some kind of peace, because right now we don't have it.
Well, and keep in mind, I mean, Jesus said himself, will you not watch 1 hour with me?
Yes, that's right.
You know, I mean, and we have as a commandment, we have as a precept of the church to worship the Lord at Holy Mass on Sunday, to keep holy the Lord's Day, not just to pray the Mass, but also to rest, but then to take another hour out of our week, to take another hour out of our busy, frenzied, hurried, chaotic lifestyle, and to go to the Lord. I mean, face facts, you know, how many of us have that one name or maybe two or three names of loved ones who are just very far from Jesus, and it weighs on our hearts, and it's a stress on our minds, and it's basically robbing us of our peace, and we're sitting there in agony and misery because of the state of someone else's soul. And yet the Lord, in his mercy, he's allowed us to be attentive to their being lost. And yet, instead of us picking up that person by name and taking them to the Lord and praying for them before the Lord, with the Lord, in the Lord for an hour, we'd rather stay at home and fume or complain or lose stomach lining or make horrible meatballs that no one wants to eat. You know? I mean, you know how horrible food tastes when you didn't make it a product? That's just disgusting. I wouldn't eat that junk. You know, that's what stress does. It ruins everything. But the Lord is inviting us to basically take the sorrows of the world and bring those sorrows back to him. And it's incredible, you know, not everyone is going to be at that place right now where they can pray. But we all who believe know that we can pray for everyone before the Lord. So it's really a privileged opportunity to take that hour to go visit the Lord, to allow our schedule to fall into place, to do everything as it needs to be done. But as we're serving the Lord, you know, I love the words of St. Teresa of Calcutta. You know, we're not called to necessarily be successful, but faithful. And the Lord opens our mind and our heart to the agony of a loved one. who suffers. They can't believe. They won't believe. You know, they've turned their back on the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord's given us the eyes to see that. He's given us the privilege and the responsibility to pray for that situation. But rather than fume over it or get irritated over it, bring it back to Him. Mm-hmm. You know, some of us are called to live a life of intercessory prayer. But if those of us who are called to intercede on behalf of others before the Lord for their benefit complain about the people we're supposed to be praying for, who's going to be praying for them? You know, I've got Irish blood, so I know what a temper is like, and I've got Polish blood, so I know what it's, you know, you try putting the two together, you know, but it's like, I can sometimes hear the Lord say, no, now bring it back to me. It was my grace that let you understand this and know this and realize the gravity of it. Now bring it back to me. And it's just a beautiful opportunity to release the stress. It's also a powerful opportunity to realize I'm not the one who's in control here.
Yes. And I would honestly say too, you give the Lord 1 hour and do that every week, you will find many graces come from God.
Absolutely.
The more you give to Him, the more He will give back. And your prayers are always answered. Not to say they're going to be answered the way you want them.
Right.
But it's the time when it's going to be answered the way you want them, God will let you know and you'll realize it. When that first prayer is answered, you'll know God's been listening to you.
So regardless of where we may be, we keep in mind the words of Blessed Carlo, a 15-year-old boy who gave his whole life to the Lord. You know, we all need that highway to heaven, that place where we can go very fast to find the Lord's peace for us. And that place is the Holy Eucharist. On this Thursday, we consider the great gift that Jesus makes of Himself to us in the Holy Eucharist. May we not only acknowledge that gift, but also accept that gift and accept the Lord Jesus in the Eucharist and make Him our own. May the Lord give you His peace.